is somewhere. Oh, there it is. That's one of the hard parts of growing old. You put things down, and then you go, okay, now where did I put my Bible? Oh, it's right there. You're going to need to take out your lessons, and John 17. Melissa, thank you. Perfect introduction, and appreciate that. But in John 17 is a Bible verse, verse 20 and 22, that have impacted me tremendously for all the years of my ministry, especially in the beginning when I came as a mission developer. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But every day, before I would get up and go, I would take a look at verse 20 and 22. So, take a look at your lesson. Verse 20, I ask only on behalf of, not only on behalf of these. Now, do you know who the these are? Disciples. Jesus says, I'm not only asking for the disciples, but also on behalf of, like Melissa said, who? Those who will believe in me through their word, through the word of the disciples. Those who will believe in me. That's us. Jesus was actually, in this prayer, praying for us. Who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. You know, as a mission developer, that's your hope. Well, your hope is you'll find somebody, okay, that will say yes, who will come. I think I can. Those were words that would ring through my head. But Jesus knew as he gathered in the garden that day that there would be many times in our lives when we would look and go, I think I can. But the reality is we're not always successful. Now, if you don't believe me, how many of you have tried to lose weight? Raise your hand. How many after you've lost weight started eating again and I think I can and all of a sudden you're back to the same weight you were before you dieted? Nobody? Just me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think I can. And then I, all of a sudden it's back on. We try so hard in so many different ways and so many different times. I remember Dear Abby? A Dear Abby article that I read, and it went like this. It was a lady that wrote in. She was humorous, but she wrote, I recently have been diagnosed with butt first syndrome. You know, it's when you decide to do the laundry and I start down the hall and notice the newspaper on the table. Okay, I'm going to do the laundry, but first I'm going to read the newspaper. And then I notice the mail on the table. Whoop. Okay, I'll put the newspaper in the recycle stack, but first, I'll go through the pile of mail and see if there's any bills to be paid. Yes, now where's the checkbook? Oops. There's the empty glass from yesterday on the coffee table. Well, I'm going to look for the checkbook first. But first, I need to put the glass in the sink. I head for the kitchen. I look out the window and notice my poor flowers need a drink of water. So I put the glass in the sink, and darn, there is the remote for the TV on the kitchen counter. What's it doing there? I'll just put it away. But first, I need to water those plants. And so I head for the door. Agh! I stepped on the cat, which reminds me, the cat needs to be fed. So I put the remote down and water the plants, but first I need to feed the cat. By the end of the day, the laundry was not done. The newspapers are still on the floor. The glass is in the sink. The bills are unpaid. The checkbook is still lost, and the cat ate the remote. And when I try to figure out how come I got nothing done all day, I'm baffled because I know I was busy all day. Oh, yeah. Some of our days are like that. Some of the times in our lives are like that. Let's see if this works. Oops, I got to turn it on. Everything works electronically. There. We have the best intentions of the world. The disciples had the best intentions of the world. They were going to go out into the world after they had argued who'd be the greatest in the kingdom of God, after they denied Jesus. Maybe that was when. But first, we're all guilty of it. It's not just something that I look to you and say, folks, I know you have good intentions in your marriage, in your life, in your business, in your work, in your home, but especially spiritually. But first, gets in the way. Just take the commandments. I am the Lord your God. Shall have no other gods before me, but first I've got the bills to pay, and I've got this to do, which come before you, God. Shall not take the name of your Lord. Second verse. Second commandment, you know. Shall not take the name of your Lord your God in vain, but first, when I hit my thumb with the hammer, I'm going to say a few words, Lord. And then my favorite, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But first, I've got soccer, football, basketball. I've got to mow the yard. I was out late last night, so I got to sleep in. So, Lord, but first, shall not kill. But first, I've got to gossip about my neighbor. And talk about their reputation. Do not bear false witness. But first, it's just a little lie. It doesn't really make a difference. You know, we all struggle, don't we? We all struggle with our best intentions as we go out into the world. That's why this prayer, the 17th chapter of John, is so powerful, because Jesus gathers in the garden. And things are different. Life is different for the disciples. And Jesus knows, as he kneels down to pray, Lord, if this needs to be, remove this cup from my lips, but thy will be done. But then he prays for his disciples, because he knows that their life is going to be turmoil after his death. Just look at Paul and our lesson from the book of Acts. Arrested, thrown in jail, flogged. But first, it's especially true today, because we have to struggle so much with, well, the changes in our society. And our society has changed so much that it's hard for us to live constantly the way Christ wants us to live. Do you remember the 50s? I do. I'm 74. Okay, I remember the 50s well. And the 40s, I don't, but 50s, 40s, 30s. When I was an evangelist for the ELCA, this slide was one that I appreciated the most, because it helped me understand what we are facing today as God's people. 20th century, if it'll work, here we go. Help me. There you go. Oh. Then it comes up. Nope. Technology.
Isn't it grand?
It is. Do you remember in the 50s, 40s, 30s when you went to church? What was it like? Shh. Kids were absolutely shh. Were they welcome in church?
Not really.
You just looked and go, bah. Second. Hit it again for me. The culture in that time said, go to church. That was expected. You moved into town, it was expected that you would go to church. Get it? The congregation grew if the community grew. Now look at that one. Business, schools, government worked in cooperation with churches on their scheduling. Oh yeah. Do you remember? Was there any soccer, baseball, anything on Wednesday night? Wednesday night was what? Church night. On Sunday? Whoa! Blue laws. Blue laws. Let's try it again. Hit it. Go ahead, D. And America was Christian. It just simply meant Christian. Go ahead. Prayer. Public prayer. You could pray before basketball games, football games, any kind of games you wanted. Any government meeting made no difference. You could pray. Sports or support and trust of the institution of the church, especially, and any institution was paramount in that. Next. My favorite. Pastors were the number one trusted profession. But we come to the 21st century where we live now and take a look. Number one, pastors are the sixth most trusted profession behind nurses, pharmacists, veterinarians, MDs, and teachers. We have really slipped. 53% of the adults are married. 47% aren't. You know how we constantly look and go, well, everybody, we ought to have things for a church for married people? Well, 47% are not. Next. 25% of the family units are traditional nuclear families today. 25%. That means 75% are not. A traditional nuclear family is like father knows best. Mom and dad have been there forever. The kids bounce around. They all grow up in the same household, and everybody's happy, and it's a nuclear family. 75% of our families are not like that. The U.S., 75% of the United States is what is classified today functionally unchurched. Unchurched means people just go whenever they want to go. Next. 25% of the labor force works on Sunday. That's why you see a lot of churches have services during the week or some other time, because 25% work on Sunday. And we are busy, very, very, very busy people in our society today. Diverse, keep going. It's fourth largest mission field. In fact, they send missionaries to the United States. Next slide. Now, what does all that mean? It means that we have a different culture that we have to deal with. And we may think we can, but then we go out into the world and we hit the opposition like Paul did. And spiritually we look and go, I don't know if I want to wear a cross. I don't know if I want people to identify me as a Christian. And if you don't believe me, ask college students who feel a lot of pressure that if they exhibit any signs of Christianity, a cross or anything else, they are ridiculed in some instances and rejected. Jesus knew that we were coming into a world like this when he said, I pray for those who will come after me. Now, the high priestly prayer, powerful, powerful prayer. Go home and read the whole thing. Next slide. Let's read this together because that's what it says down below. It says, I will remain world no longer, but these still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. I am coming to you now, but I saw these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, for they are not of the world, more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I will protect them. I will be with them. Don't take them out of the world. We have to live in the world, and then we're called to go out into the world and to witness the grace, the power, the love of God through our life. And it isn't always easy. I think I can. I think I can, but first gets in the way. Christ our Shepherd has had a tremendous impact in a community. It has touched the lives of many people, and that can never stop. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how hard it is, we are one. We are a people that are one in Christ and called to move forward. But it isn't easy, so I'm not going to chide you because I, like you, get caught sometimes saying, I think I can, I think I can, but I'm not sure I can quite make it. When I came here in 1974, there were four members of this church. Myself, my beautiful wife, and my two young children, Brent and Britt. I'd been trained 2 weeks in Mission Developing School, and they sent me with a little manual that was black notebook about this thick with how to start a church. I think I can. I think I can. But I had no idea if I could. It was hard to get up in the morning, and I remember before I knocked on the first door, how hard it was just to go out cold and knock on doors. And that's where I found verse 20 and verse 22, where Jesus said, I'm going to be with you and I pray for you. It was like the wind behind me that all of a sudden moved me over the hill. You see, Jesus promised in this prayer that God is with us. If we don't always follow through, he's there. He still loves us. The second, we have been armed with the Word of God. You have it. Spiritually, you have the things that you need to make Christ known every day and every way. And third, he prayed that prayer so that he would send us out into the world. It makes a difference. I think I can, I think I can. My friends, never quit loving. Never quit giving. You know what it says? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Forgive. Oh yeah, I'll forgive, but first, I need to get even. We live in a changing world that requires more energy and time and determinism to get over the hump and over the hill, down to the other side where we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I knocked on doors, folks, I will tell you, the first door that I knocked on Hip Pocket Road was a wonderful family that listened to what I had to say, but they were Presbyterian. That was okay. But God knew, because the second door that I knocked on, an elderly lady opened the door, and I think in my imagination, her neck was this long. Because I said, I'm the new Lutheran pastor in town. And she stuck her neck out that door and said, what's a Lutheran? Folks, I'd come from Milwaukee. There was a Lutheran on every corner. And I go, what's a Lutheran? You see, God knew if I would have hit that house first, I'd have turned around and got home and said, I know I can't, I know I can't, I know I can't. But the power of the Holy Spirit is the wind within your sail. See, when you leave here, you can go out and do what God calls us to do because you have the word, God is with you. And trust that he is the wind in your sails that'll bring you forward. It's the wind behind us. I think I can, I think I can. 35, 45 years later, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit blowing me forward. And he does it for you. Wow, what a gift. What a privilege we have. I think I can, I think I can. I want you to leave here going, I know I can, I know I can. Because the Holy Spirit is with me. Now, next week is Pentecost. And you will celebrate that wind that Jesus prayed for. But you've got to wear what color?
Red.
Red. Okay, don't forget. What color are you going to wear next week?
Red. Red.
The site will be up, so you'll remind everybody. That's good. I think I can. I think I can. It's not but first. But first I let the Holy Spirit drive me forward in my family, my work, my home, wherever. Isn't going to be easy because our culture's changed. Trust God. He's with you, and he's giving you his word.